Hey, it's Barbara Phillips with NPBO, and I wanted to give you a heads up on a webinar that we have coming up Thursday, May 16th, and it will be with a certified healthcare privacy person who has been in charge of a very large healthcare organization and their privacy compliance, HIPAA, and all of that sort of thing. And I think it's very important that all clinicians attend this one because HIPAA affects all of us. And so you can get more information about that at npbusiness.org/privacy matters. And just another quick heads up after that, in June, we'll be talking with someone who has been in charge of the IT compliance to protect the organization. And so this one will be geared toward how do you protect yourself as well as your practice. And I'll be sharing more information about that later. So let's move on with the podcast.
On this episode of the NP Business Matters podcast, episode number 80, we're going to be talking about NPI numbers and why they are important, and more importantly, why you need an NPI too. So let's go ahead and get started.
Hello and welcome to the NP Business Matters podcast, the show that's dedicated to helping nurse practitioners just like you succeed in business. I'm your host, Barbara C. Phillips, founder of Nurse Practitioner Business Owner. And since 2007, we've been working with you on the business of being a nurse practitioner, providing education, resources, and support as you start, grow, and operate your own practice. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just getting started, this podcast is designed to help you navigate the challenges and the opportunities of running your own practice. I'll cover a wide range of topics from startup and finance to marketing and operations. I invite you to subscribe and listen to each episode for tips, insights, how-tos that you need to succeed. To learn more about NPBO and our resources, visit us at npbusiness.org.
Hello and welcome. I am so glad that you are joining me today because this topic about NPI numbers comes up frequently, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about why you need an NPI number. So first of all, let's talk about just what is an NPI, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. So the NPI stands for a National Provider Identifier. And what a lot of people tend to forget is it is a HIPAA standard that all healthcare professionals and clinics have a NPI number. In terms of the NPI 1, that's the one that you all have. We have had that since we graduated from school and became a provider. Now, one of the things that is really important about an NPI number is regardless of whatever you do, that number will always be yours. That is the NPI 1. That is the NPI that we use to identify ourselves when we're providing claims, the NPI number that many people want when we're ordering supplies, that kind of thing. But let me back up a little bit and talk more about this standard, just so that we're all clear. And this is coming directly from CMS, from the Medicare Learning Network document that I'll link to in the show notes. HIPAA standard transactions are exchanges involving the transfer of information for two parties, which I think we're all familiar with. HIPAA regulations set up the following standards for EDI, or electronic data interchange of healthcare data. This includes claims and encounter information, claim status, coordination of benefit and premium payments, eligibility, enrollment, disenrollment, payment and remittance advice, and referrals and authorization. All healthcare providers who are HIPAA-covered entities, and that's us, of course, whether it's an individual or an organization, must get an NPI. And under HIPAA, you're a covered healthcare provider if you electronically transfer information, even if you use a third party to do it where you have a business associate agreement. That's the BAA. So this includes all of us, right? All healthcare providers, nurses, nurse practitioners, physicians, PAs, chiropractors, but it also includes clinics, group practices, and other organizations. Now, just to be clear, it's important to understand when you get your NPI number, you get it from the National Plan and Provider Enumeration System. And of course, this is CMS, so it's got an acronym, and it's NPPES. And it will assign that NPI number to all of us who are required to have it. And of course, I'll link to that in the show notes as well, in case we have new people listening to this. So it's important to understand when you get your NPI number, or if you already have an NPI number, you need to understand that there is an NPI registry that gets this information, and that is public information, right? Also, CMS discloses provider data under the Freedom of Information Act, and it goes, like I said, to the registry, but it also goes to a download file. Here's why this is important. If you have ever searched for a provider, and maybe even yourself, you're going to find several listings, and it may include a listing from places you've not put your information. It might be U.S. News Health, it might be Doximity, WebMD, MPI Database, Health Grades, all of those kinds of places. So your information becomes public, regardless if you want it there or not. So this is a reason why you need to be very careful about how you are registering for your NPI number. If you are doing it under your home address, for instance, that information is going to be public. And I did this in the beginning when I was opening my practice because, one, I didn't know any better. Two, I didn't yet have an office and I was trying to get the credentialing process started. And I actually had a sales rep in those days show up to my house. So you don't want that information, your home phone number, your home address, those kinds of things out on the interwebs. So let's get back to the NPI number. So we've talked about what it is and why you need it and how to apply for it. But let's talk about now the NPI numbers, because there's two types. So type one, or NPI one, is the NPI number that you most likely already have. It is for you as the clinician, as the individual clinician. And again, it stays with you no matter what. You can change your name. You can't change your birth date, but any of those things that you change, your location, whatever, that is going to be with you for life, just like your Social Security number. Although this is your number as a clinician. Now, a type 2 NPI, or NPI 2, also called an entity type or corporate NPI 2 number. That's the second one. And I'm going to talk about why you need one of those and what are the advantages to having both of those. But before I get there, I need to address the objections that I'm already hearing coming from you, because I hear it all the time from our listeners' voices. They will say, I'm not an entity. It's just me. I'm a solo proprietor. I don't have an LLC, PLLC, PC, or any other kind of business structure. To that, I'm going to say, if this is you, you are absolutely playing with fire. Every healthcare provider should have at least an LLC or whatever it is that your state requires professionals to have. And if you're unsure as to why that is, I'll refer you first to your Secretary of State in your particular state. But also, I discussed business structures, why they were important, how they protect you in episode number 56 of the NP Business Matters podcast, where I talked about business structures. And of course, I will link to that in the show notes. But I'll just say that being a sole proprietor is dangerous to your professional and your financial health. That is not something you want to do as a healthcare provider. So again, you'll find the show notes at npbusiness.org/8080. Okay, so what are the advantages to having a NPI 2, a corporate NPI, that NPI for your entity? One of the most important things that I think is it separates the business from the personal entity. Okay. Now, when you set up your business, you want it to be its own living, breathing entity. It has a tax ID. It has an NPI too. You keep your finances separate, all of that kind of stuff. It gives you a layer of protection against those two. It gives you a clear distinction between your personal clinical services that you deliver and the business entity. And this can be, as I said, essential for your financial health, legal reasons. It could potentially help shield personal assets in case of any kind of legal complications. And let me put a little caveat behind that. When it comes to malpractice, there is what is called piercing the corporate veil. So I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about all the other things that can potentially happen in your business. When you have that NPI 2, it also streamlines your billing and operations. Even as a solo provider, having that corporate NPI, that NPI 2 can make certain aspects of your billing more efficient. For instance, if you decide to bring on ancillary services or another provider in the future, billing under the corporate NPI number makes that transition smoother. The other thing that it does, and I think that people don't often think about this, but let's say that you were working for the big clinic across town. Now you have your small little solo practice, and you've decided not to change anything because you don't need to. You've already got your NPI numbers, and you sometimes think that you can just not do any additional credentialing. I hope not. If that's the case, please talk with me. But what can happen is that first bill that you send out, they're going to say, oh, you're credentialed under big clinic across the town. That's where we're sending the money. You don't want that to happen either. So it is important that when you are billing, you bill under your business and you become the rendering provider at that business. So that money always comes into your business accounts and doesn't go to somebody else. The third advantage here is it's part of HIPAA compliance. So while you have that individual compliance under your personal NPI, that corporate NPI, that NPI 2, ensures that all business-related transactions are in line with HIPAA standards. And this is the piece I think so many people forget. You've got to be in compliance with HIPAA. So if you have a clinic, you have a group practice, you have a solo practice, whatever the case may be, get that NPI 2. And as I said, it allows for that future flexibility. I have seen too many people come back and say, well, I credentialed under my NPI 1. Now I'm going to bring somebody. What do I need to do? Well, guess what? You need to start over. Just get that NPI 2. It's not difficult to get and it's free. So just go ahead and get it in the beginning and that way you're good. Now, for those of you who are in cash-only practices, you're thinking, oh, I don't need this. Well, yes, you do for some of the reasons that we've already talked about. But again, if you decide to expand your practice or accept insurance sometime in the future, and you don't always know that's going to happen, you also will want that NPI too because it just simplifies things. And it really is a way of future-proofing your business. Number five is enhanced professional image. You know, when you have that NPI 2, that corporate NPI, and it's used in conjunction with branding, professional practice marketing, you can elevate that perceived stature and credibility of your practice, even if you are solo and do not bill insurances. Oftentimes what happens is a patient may come to you, they may want a super bill or an invoice that they can send to their insurance company to see if they can recoup some of those costs. And having that NPI 2 is also going to help them. And it also, you look more established. You look more real. Number six is contractual advantages. So some third-party payers, vendor agreements, partnerships may require a corporate or NPI 2. Okay? They may need it for contractual reasons. If you already have that, it may open you to a wider range of opportunities. And some vendors may even require it for certain transactions, discounts, deals, Even if you're not billing insurance, you just may be ordering flu vaccines, or you may be ordering PPE equipment, whatever it may be, you may need to have that. Just like we oftentimes run into where people are requiring a DEA number, even though it has nothing to do with controlled substances or medications at all. And then they get kind of pushed out if you don't have that DEA number. So it's the same thing with the NPI, but a DEA will cost you $881 currently, whereas the NPI 2 is free. 7 is collaborative agreements and partnerships. If you decide to collaborate with other healthcare entities, they might want to have that NPI 2 because of the contractual agreements and the things that they're doing. So this is true even if it's non-insurance related. So another reason why you may want to have it. And again, it helps with the ease in business management, tracking expenses, reimbursement, your taxes, keeping all of your expenses more distinct as in terms of, is it business or is it personal? And finally, there's that forward planning. Again, even if you are starting solo, thinking ahead for all possibilities is crucial. And while we can't think of everything ahead of time, like I said earlier, too often people have come to me, they were just planning on staying themselves, and they just found that they were growing more, they needed to add more people, or maybe that business model is pivoting. And so when you already have that, it does allow for an easier transition and scalability of your practice. It really boils down to the individual NPI is essential for clinical work and direct patient care that we all do. And most of us really love it. That's our calling. That's what we want to do. We want to make a decent living doing it. But the corporate NPI, that business NPI, that NPI 2, serves as a foundation for the business aspect of your practice. It'll give you that flexibility for the future, and it can streamline many of your back-end operations. I hope that that makes a case for you having an NPI 2, why I think it is so important, and why I've been singing that for years, that you need to have it, even if you are a cash practice. Now, I would love to hear your comments, your thoughts, what you have run into, when you've had to change or not change in the future. And if you'll share those over on our show notes at npbusiness.org/80, I'm sure others can learn as well. And we can all learn from one another. So please go ahead over there and let me know your thoughts on this. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out to listen to our podcast, for giving us positive feedback, for giving us all feedback, and for sharing it with your colleagues. Because it is so important that all of us as nurse practitioners understand the business of being a nurse practitioner. And I can't wait to see you in the next episode of the NP Business Matters podcast. Bye-bye now.